Welcome to episode 322 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. What is a family? Do you think the answer is obvious? There was a time in the not-so-distant past when it would not have been politically incorrect or uncontroversial to reply, a husband and wife, and their children. This conjugal nuclear family could be diminished by the death of a member, splintered by divorce, expanded by the co-residence of other relations, like a grandparent, an adopted child, or other persons. But the norm of a father, a mother, and their children has been almost universally acknowledged as being at the core of most families since the earliest days of recorded history. But that has been changing, and has been changing for several decades. In the early 1960s, in the US, two-thirds of children were raised in male breadwinner married couple families. By contrast, today, there is no one family and work arrangement that encompasses the majority of children. In 1970, more than 40% of households were nuclear families. Today, that figure is not even 20%. Still, the majority of children around the globe live with two parents, including shared custody arrangements. Children are especially likely to live with both parents in Asia and the Middle East. Marriage tends to be more common in Asia and the Middle East than in other regions, whereas alternatives to marriage, including cohabitation, are more popular in Europe and Central and South America. In the United States, marriage is playing a smaller role within families, as more people delay the exchanging of vows, live together without getting married, or divorce. One exception is same-sex couples, who since a 2015 United States Supreme Court ruling making their unions permissible, are marrying at higher rates than other couples. Multigenerational households are also becoming more prevalent, with more children growing up in homes with multiple generations. New York Times op-ed columnist David Brooks once asserted that the nuclear family was a mistake. Brooks held up the older example of extended kin networks as a superior model, but he also expressed interest in non-biological kin and family-like relationships. How does all this square with the Bible? The story of creation opens with a solitary human being, but he isn't allowed to stay that way long. It is not good that the man should be alone. This is what God says. God then brings every animal to the man in order to be judged and named, and the result is that there was not found a helper fit for him. The story emphasizes his need for a certain sort of companionship, and so Eve is created from his own side. Marriage is created in Eden, and it is ordained as something suitable for a man and woman. Genesis also adds this in Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Thus we can see a basic distinction between the husband and wife pairing and the broader family network. The nuclear family was established by God, and while there is value in the extended family, the nuclear family forms the core.
Today's top 10 list.
10 reasons why families matter.
Number 1.
The very first relationships children have are with their parents and any siblings. Whether healthy or not, they provide models for future relationships. It's often not a conscious decision, but for better or for worse, people often choose partners and friends based on how similar they are to family members. Family dynamics repeat themselves and reinforce beliefs about relationships and self. We see this in the Bible too, for example, in the ways that both Isaac and his son Jacob play favorites with their children.
Number 2.
One's perception of God is often seen through the prism of one's own father. Fathers who do not display God's character or even the basic protective instincts of a parent can struggle to accept any father figure, even God. Consider 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. What is interesting to note here is that John does not say the Father loves us. In doing so, he would be describing a condition. Instead, he tells us that the Lord has lavished his love on us. And this, in turn, portrays an action and the extent of God's love. For a child whose father is missing or who has missed the mark, the notion of love being lavished can be incomprehensible.
Number 3.
People from close-knit families go on to enjoy close relationships later in life. Psychological Science published a long-running study in 2016 that looked at men's relationships. According to their findings, men who grew up in nurturing families managed their emotions well and maintained a closer connection with their partners.
Number 4.
There have been many studies on the importance of family time, specifically dinner time. While families can still be healthy even if they don't eat dinner together every night, there is a correlation between this time together and a young person's well-being. In the journal Pediatrics, one study discovered that kids who ate with their families regularly were less likely to show depression symptoms. On the other side of the spectrum, research shows that negative family relationships can trigger or worsen mental health issues.
Number 5.
Families are the first place where children learn how to manage their emotions, interact with others, and communicate. It's also the first setting where kids learn about consequences, either positive or negative. Parents are responsible for guiding their children, providing life lessons that will be remembered for years to come. These lessons form a big part of a person's worldview and how they believe the world works. It is from these lessons that children learn values.
Number 6.
The very first people on earth formed a family. From the beginning, God blessed and encouraged families, commanding Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
Number 7.
In the Old Testament, God is the father of Israel, and Israel is his son, in the context of God forgiving and redeeming Israel. While the Jews of Jesus' day were hesitant to call God their father and angry at Jesus for doing so, Jesus claimed God as his father and taught his followers to do the same. God is the Father and is also the Son, whom the Father sent to carry out his plan of redemption. What distinguishes the Son from the Father is not the quality of his being, which is just as divine as the Father's, but the functioning of the relationship, according to which the Son had come into the world to do the Father's will. We relate to God as Father, therefore, through Jesus the Son, sharing in his sonship through the adoption we receive through Christ's redeeming work for us.
Number 8.
Jesus taught that marriage is holy and essential to God's plan. Mark 10 verses 6 to 9. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder.
Number 9.
Even when in agony on the cross, Jesus showed concern for his earthly mother's care. John 19 verses 26 to 27. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home.
Number 10.
When God led the Israelites out of bondage, he commanded them to teach their children all he had done for them. He desired that the generations to come would continue to uphold all his commands. When one generation fails to instill God's laws in the next, a society quickly declines. Parents have not only a responsibility to their children, but to an assignment from God to impart his values and truth into their lives. Father, thank you for the gift of family. Give us the wisdom, patience, and courage to be good family members. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.